servicing, it is helping to broaden the shoulders some. A foot on either side is a great help, but resurfacing, it's good. It's spotted all the way from Mountain Highway down to Shepherd of the Hills.
With the, it's one of our minor routes, we typically patch those, do little segments of that, and then we'll come through eventually and do the full resurfacing. And we've been trying to, where the traffic sign up and that won't have a problem, you know, threshold, add in where we can fit them in, the 2-foot shoulders and rumble stripes. It's like on 160, we did that. That unfortunately, with the terrain and the narrow roads, it's hard to fit them in many places, but we do try to do that.
So it's a minor route. It's got major traffic, escalating in traffic.
Yes, we have a lot of minor routes in Joplin and Branson that carries more traffic than even some of our major routes. It's based more on major or minor is both the volume and the connectivity.
And the amount of accidents that are happening.
That's kind of a separate thing. We do look at the safety side of things, and we're looking at undertaking a safety plan for a district.
Well, 248 is a safety issue, for sure.
Yeah.
For minor routes, it's high on the list.
Yeah.
And I know y'all reported on the different studies you've done recently in the last 5 years. They just keep, the situation keeps worsening.
Yeah.
What about there at K Highway and East 76? Seems like every time it rains, they have a bad accident and fatality. About adding the high friction surface treatment just on that corner.
I'll make a note. So that's part of what the safety studies to help us do is figure out kind of where the high priority areas are. That means the reality is we have crashes everywhere. And then the once you get into where you have a high crash rate and start reading the reports, then it gets kind of convoluted because you have circumstances you can't address in certain areas. But there'll definitely be something in this county because it always comes up one quarter or another. And this county will come up for safety stuff because we have a lot of traffic on these two-lane roads.
Actually, that K Highway corner, there's a mile along there with the school and with that particular corner and with Victorian Heart, you know, Industries, and all of that needs acceleration, deceleration lanes, a high friction surface. There's just a stretch in there that needs to have some attention. What stops that each time is that we've had meetings about it with the school, which really frustrates the school. The school, did they ever give us a support letter for the expressway? No. And they would love to see the expressway, but they don't want to promote additional traffic because they've got issues there right now. If we can get them that, first of all, just intellectually make them feel better. But every time we get together on all of this, then there's all, well, whatever the locals want to do. Well, that's not a local route. And to some degree, I don't mean being a team player, but we've got to do something a little better there in that just that section. And
I know the school's desperately wanting a turn lane.
Yeah.
Put in, and well, I've talked to MoDOT in the past, with Tanny County, if they came to an agreement, if we did the work and provided the equipment and people, if MoDOT could kick in for the material to do the project. I'm pretty sure I can get the commission to agree to that.
Yeah.
There has been quite a few accidents, even involving the school bus.
Yeah.
And it had also been mentioned dropping it from 55 to 45 through that area, and then 35 during the schools when the flashing light comes on.
And that is on our big priority matrix. It's on our county one. But there's a great deal of support to get something done there. That's a lot of my district. I'm not exactly sure whose district it's in, but it needs some attention.
Yeah.
and that it's gotten out there. And every time I hear a fatality, because we get it through the law enforcement side first, you don't know who they are. They could be school kids, so easy, or parents, or that kind of stuff. And this time it happened not to be, but it's not good. So, for whatever that's for, that's one that we need to get on the list.
Bring your tops. You know, I was kind of enjoying that.
One thing on the MoDOT side here that I've mentioned, and Frank helped me, and Frank and I talked about this, but there was a press release went out yesterday. The state has been awaiting an infra grant for the name of the bridge.
Roachport.
Yeah, the Rockport.
Roachport.
Roachport.
Roachport. Okay, Roachport Bridge on I-70, and that was an $81 million infra grant. What that did was, then there was an agreement with the legislature to go ahead and have a bonding ability of $301 million if we got the infra grant. So what that really does is it frees up $240 million from existing commitments that now can go to meet other needs. And so really it's kind of a convoluted system, but the real bottom line is there's the $81 million for the Roachport Bridge, and then there is the $240 that can go into the system to not be quite as stringent a problem as we have right now. And again, I see this as one of these temporary fixes. This is a Band-Aid on a sucky chest wound here, but it's better than no Band-Aid. So we just need to kind of keep that in mind. But I think that's good news. It really is. And it speaks to Governor Parson's commitment to transportation. So Director MoDOT has commended, or said he appreciates the governor's effort on that particular deal. Right, we also have a new boss at your place.
Yes, we do. We have a new, let's say back on the Roachport Bridge. So Roachport is where I-70 goes in the Missouri River, and it's just west of Columbia, but it impacts things like just-in-time deliveries for the automotive plants in Kansas City, and it's a poor condition bridge. We have to look at doing some repairs to it. Even repairs would cost almost as much as the Long Creek Bridge replacement, so it's in the $23 million range. And we'd have to shut down the bridge long enough that would cause severe backups to where University of Missouri Medical Centers would start diverting patients to St. Louis and Kansas City because they wouldn't want somebody to have to depend on getting to Columbia in time for treatment. So we wanted to replace the bridge. Very similar situation we've had down this county where it's better to replace because then you have to shut everything down to repair. And that's a $238 million project. So we requested $172 million, and the Semper grant got $81 million. So the request is a little bit short, but we also knew that that was a huge request to the federal government. It is good news, though, that we're going to be able to do this project. So we're waiting to hear how this all plays out in terms of it was tied to some bonding for other bridges in our program. So the idea was that the FDF money would come out to the regions at some point. But we don't know exactly what that looks like yet because we also need to address this funding gap on the Roachport Bridge. So we're waiting to find that out. But it's overall good news for us because it's more money in Missouri means that we can do more transportation in Missouri.
There's kind of another odd plus, at least in my estimation. The bridges over the major impoundments and the interstate system were all built at the same time. So everything is coming into demand of replacement at the same time. And so some of them have had their lifespan extended by maintenance and fixes and stuff like that. So what's happening in this round is we are actually getting them spread out a little bit so that in another few decades when this all hits again, we won't have the entire state major highway infrastructure as it relates to bridges to come apart at the same time. Now we're starting to get it stair-stepped a little bit, and I think that can be good news in the out years. But right now we're facing some things.
That's a good point. We see that I-44, I-70 built late 50s into the 60s. Also, they were building lakes in that time. So it's lots of bridges running around the same age that were paved bridges. So, yeah, that's exactly right. We've had some that have been extended, others being replaced now.
MoDOT is going through a design build type of format to do some things right now on these where there is a series of bridges together. There is a north of Springfield on 44. There are three bridges that I believe that Emerson Abinson received the bids on. There are significant savings by having that happen. There is a one contractor, so that helps the whole thing. And that contractor times the projects with themselves instead of trying to coordinate with a million other variables. And I think all in all, a very good step forward for transportation planning. And I think that's a very big step forward. And again, it speaks to MoDOT doing innovative things and trying to look at doing the best they can with the resources they have. So.
Yeah, it was called a design build format. And what we did was we essentially said, here's some money, here are these bridges, most of them are bad. What can we do to fix them? And keep them basically, either by replacing them or maintaining, preparing them, how much life can we get out of the bridges that we can address our bad? And we actually saw, we had a long list. We didn't get all of them addressed, but for the ones that did get addressed, it was a good deal compared to what we would have done with individual projects, each bridge. We actually, in our new construction program, have a second phase to that shown in there to address the rest of I-44 to Southwest Missouri and pick up the bridges that we need to address this time.
Megan, are we still thinking we have to do the plan B? If we don't have money, what can we do without it?
I don't know, Frank. What do you think? Well, it sounds like, you know, from the federal level, we don't get a new federal transportation bill. If anybody read the article yesterday, at least the president and both parties have come to an agreement on the debt ceiling and a general two-year budget agreement to get us through 2021. So depending on what the appropriation bills look like, I'm taking that as meaning we're not going to get a new transportation bill. I'm going to assume that means we'll probably get 2 years of transportation appropriations, and then they'll discuss a longer term. That might be me being pessimistic. Maybe they'll figure something out.
Because I think the bill comes due September 20, right? So they're not going to do a new bill then. That's right for a bunch. anything Congress will do, but
right. Exactly.
Typically that means they're going to kick it at least to 21 and get to the election first.
So I'm going to assume we'll get a stopgap year of transportation funding before they take on a heavier transportation bill.
They didn't say anything specifically about transportation.
No, they said defense got more money, but they haven't actually done the appropriations yet, so
right.
That's the other thing.
And I saw we're made for domestic spending, but I don't know if that was just a loose
term.
Or increase domestic as much as military.
And that was as of yesterday. So when they actually vote on appropriation bills and when they're back from August recess, it could be very different. But
the only reason that the President and Congress came together on that budget was because Congress is preparing to recess for vacation.
August they take off. So
that threw everybody together.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens when they come back if everybody still gets along.
That's good.
But that was a positive news out of Washington.
Now we got a target to shoot at.
One thing that's slightly different in today's environment is the Bill Grants and the Tiger Grants before them. It used to be that all had to come in the highway bill or be an earmark. And so they are handling that a little differently. So there has been some projects moved off the table. I will tell you, and I did bring some of the background stuff that I've shared with partners. Let's see, that's the one. But the real bottom line is, when you look at this material, it's not very flattering because they've issued, like, for example, high-speed rail. They issued $160 million to Florida, and the money got spent, but no high-speed rail project for it before.
Same as California.
So
even worse.
Giant projects go. So some of that is a little bit sketchy at best. But at any rate, all I'm saying is that these are things that weren't in the old days. Last time we had a five-year transportation bill for the first time in a long time, and I think maybe if we get by this election, we may be able to do that again if we get Congress to talk to each other for 2 days.